is the 8th day of January, 2018. It's the 21st, we agreed on? Okay, the 21st day of Teves, Tav Shinayin Ches. Monday, today's only Monday. We just got a text that we're closing school early today again for some reason. Don't know what's going on over there.
Did you get that too?
No, because there's a warming trend here.
So... now we close when it's snowy and when it's warming? What's going on?
Nothing's happening out there.
There's supposed to be an ice storm this afternoon, but, you know. The afternoon? All right. So we got towards the end of Perek Tes. Towards the end of Perek Tes, we have today is Halacha Day. Towards the end of the 9th chapter, we had two brachos here. So Pasuk of Beis. The Pasuk tells us, Vayisa Aaron es yadav elaam vayvarachim. That Aaron raised his hands to the nation, and he gave them a bracha. What bracha did he give them? So Rashi says, Birchas Kohanim. He gave the regular standard Birchas Kohanim, and even spelled it out for you. Yivarecha Yair Yisa. Why did he spell it out? So we talked about in the last year, the Baal Turim says, connected Karbanos. Not going to discuss that now. In the very next Pasuk, Moshe and Aaron go into the Yol Moed, and they come out, and what does it say? Vayivarchu Esa'am. They gave a bracha to the nation. So what bracha did they give? So Rashi says, that our work should be for good, and yiratzon, that his will should be, that the Shechina should rest upon the actions that we did in terms of building the base of Mikdash. What bracha is not given here? So the bracha that's not given here is Berachas Kohen. Right? Berachas Kohanim is not given here. So the Sifsei Chachamim makes the point, why not? Why are we not giving the Berachas Kohanim here? Why did we assume the previous Pasuk yes and now not? So the Sifsei Chachamim says, the aim will mark Berachas Kohanim. At this point, they cannot do Berachas Kohanim. Why not? Shekvar Berachu Sam Aaron. Aaron had already given that bracha. Okay. The Ode, and also, Vaham Moshe Levi Haya. That Moshe was a Levi. The Heyach Berach Berachas Kohanim. And how should he be permitted to give Berachas Kohanim? So because Moshe is involved now, obviously it's not Berachas Kohanim, because Moshe is involved. Okay? So I would like to analyze four possible reasons. So as to why Moshe could not have given Birchas Kohanim, and all of them perhaps are problematic. This is a little bit of a problematic thing. Now, obviously, it's built on Drush, etc. But in terms of why Moshe would not be permitted to give Birchas Kohanim, is all somewhat questionable. All four of them are somewhat questionable. So, number one, what's the reason that's given by the Sifsei Chachamim? Well, he's not a Kohen. If he's not a Kohen, he can't do Berachas Kohanim. So how do we know that? Is that so clear? So the truth is, that is Sif Aleph in Hilchos Berachas Kohanim. Hilchos Berachas Kohanim is the very first section in the second Chelik of Mishneh Berurah. It opens up by saying, Ein Nesiyas Pakapayim Papachos Miyud V'Kohanim Mi'Minyan, that you can't do Berachas Kohanim unless you have a minion there. And then says the Ramah, V'Ein Lazar Lisa Kapav Afilu Im Kohanim Acherim. Now, and the Zar can't do raise his hands, even when there are other Kohanim around. Why? And it says the Zar over Ba'asei, that a Zar who offers Berachas Kohanim, so they violate a mitzvah's Asei, and that he has violated mitzvah's Asei, because the Kohanim are the ones that are supposed to give it, and he's not the one that's supposed to give it. So the Be'er Halacha, the commentary right here on the page here, says, you know, that's true, that certainly makes a lot of sense, that if you're not a Kohen, you're not allowed to do Berachas Kohanim, except for the fact that we see non-Kohanim give Birchas Kohanim all the time. Right? We see people regularly go ahead and give brachos to one another in this particular way. What is the most glaring example of this that we have, that we see non-Kohanim do use the Birchas Kohanim tefillah?
Friday night.
Friday night's the most obvious. What did you say?
Balkans. Lenin Nimoy.
Right, okay, in Star Trek, right, but he didn't actually say the words, right? The hands doesn't say, as much as when we were in elementary school, we were told that if you're not a Kohen, you're not able to do it. Somehow, miraculously, I was able to, but the, raising, parting your fingers in that particular way is not the issue, but saying the words is a particular issue. So the Be'er Halacha here says, well, wait a second, how... why do we do it on Friday night? And beyond that, there's other times as well. For instance, we say Birchas Kohanim as part of the Birchas HaTorah in the morning, right? There it's used as well. And we also do it as part of Chazara Shatz. So as you pointed out last week, that's not so problematic, because that's really just expressing what the Kohanim did. Just like I'm allowed to teach Chumash Vayikra, even though it's describing what the Kohanim did, right? That's okay. And a person who learns about the Avodah is as if they're doing the Avodah themselves. Yeah, but still, we don't take that literally to assume that only Kohanim are permitted to learn the Avodah. But here, the Mishnah is bothered. Why is it that they do this? In fact, the Torah Tamima quotes that there is a tradition within the family that when the... Now I'm forgetting which one gave a bracha to which. But the Noda de Bihuda, I was about to say, when the Vilna Gaon gave a bracha to the Noda de Bihuda. The only problem is the Noda de Bihuda was much older than the Vilna Gaon. So I think it might be the other way around. I'm not sure. Now one of them gave a bracha to the other one. I think they... No, neither one is a Kohen. One of them gave a bracha to the other. Maybe it was a second marriage. I don't remember which one gave a bracha to whom. But when they gave one of them gave a bracha to another one before their wedding. So they said that they only used one hand to do. They only put their hands on their head, but only put one hand on the head. But putting two hands on the head is nesias kapayim, is the raising of the hands. But if you're only using one hand, so then that's okay. That's clear enough that it's not a real birchas kohanim in order to make sure that it's in order to show that it's okay. So that's what many do. Personally, that I do that as well. When I give a bracha to children on Friday night, so I only put one hand and not two hands. I think it was the Noda de Bihuda giving a bracha to the Vilna Gaon because I like to say it's my family. It's my Alter Zaidi, even though it's through the mother. It's still that's the Alter Zaidi. So therefore, I only use one hand as opposed to two hands. So that's one way around it. You're only giving one hand and not two hands. The way around it that the Bir Halacha mentions is that it's only a problem. If you raise your hands, and also shalisa kapayim below tefila, that it's only an issue if you do it during tefila. But if it's outside of the context of tefila, outside of the context of our davening, so then you're not going to be in violation of this problem, which is in fact the answer for how you can do it as part of Birkas HaTorah in the morning. It's not really part of tefila, even though you do it, it's in the Siddur, it's not going to be considered part of davening, and therefore it's also an exemption to the Friday night thing. It's not part of tefillah, and it's also at night, and therefore it's not part of tefillah. So therefore you have enough ways of getting around the so that's a main heter to permit one to do it. So Sam is looking at me cross-eyed. Yeah,
Friday night, I mean, you are giving the bracha. I mean, it's
correct,
like when you're doing in the prayer, you're just, it's like a fussing. Not really.
It's part of Birkas HaTorah.
Yeah.
Okay. Really. Alright, but his question specifically was about people that give this bracha. So why is it permitted for people to give this bracha? So his answer is it's not in the context of tefillah. Right, now that does raise another issue, is that if one goes to Sephardic or Chabad, I've seen Chabad weddings also, there's a minhag of giving Birkas Kohanim under the chuppah. Right, you've seen this? They call up a Kohen to be mechubad. In our community, it's usually Rabbi Levin, right, with Birkas Kohanim. And why is that allowed? So, well, he's a Kohen, but the other problem is it's not in the context of tefillah. So how do you get out of that problem? So he quotes he reads the Pasuk before as well, and the Pasuk after. So you read it in the context of the Chumash, and therefore it's okay. Well, why don't we do that Friday night? That's a challenge. That's another question that's out there. But either way, So what is this now? This, in terms of this giving the Birchas Kohanim, what is this now? Is this in the context of tefillah? So it seems like it's not in the context of tefillah. So the fact that we're going to say, well, what the Sisi Chachamim says is that, well, Moshe obviously, it couldn't have been Birchas Kohanim because Moshe is involved, and Moshe can't do Birchas Kohanim because he's only a Levi. Says, okay, but who says you have to be a Kohen to always give Birchas Kohanim? Maybe only the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim in tefillah is a problem, but if it's not that, maybe it's not okay. So that is the answer that the Sisi Chachamim gives, he doesn't attribute this one. So it's an answer, but it's a little bit problematic to assume that just because you're not a Kohen, you're not allowed to do it. I would add in the previous section as well. I mean, the previous pasuk when Aaron gave the bracha, it also wasn't in the context of tefillah. Right? So... okay. Anyways, so that's issue number one. That Moshe didn't give it because he wasn't a Kohen. Well, who said maybe it could be that this bracha could be given even by non-Kohenim? The second answer that is on the board is that another issue. Well, with that suggestion is who says Moshe wasn't a Kohen? Right? Are we so sure that Moshe wasn't a Kohen? Well, Moshe wasn't, meaning he sanctified Aaron with the Kedusha of the Kahuna, and Aaron's children had the Kedusha of the Kahuna, and Moshe's children certainly did not have the Kedusha of the Kahuna. But Rav makes a statement in Maseches Zvachim, Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, that Moshe was considered, not just the Kohen, but he was considered the Kohen Gadol. I believe that that's what the comment is.
Moshe?
Moshe Rabbeinu, yes.
Not after he gave it to Aaron, right?
Well, okay. But, hold on. Let me just find the quote here. Amar Rav, Moshe Rabbeinu Kohen Gadol. V'cholik b'katshei shemayim. And he gave out these things. That Moshe was considered, Moshe had the status of a Kohen Gadol. And then he gave things out. So the Gemara has some given...
Was a Levi, or no?
Yes, he certainly was from Levi, but he may have achieved the status of Kohen. That's what Rav says. The Gemara raises a few questions against Rav, and it never defeats Rav. The Gemara leaves, and the Gemara moves, it's not practically doesn't have that much of an impact. But the Rav does make the statement, and we generally pass them like Rav, that Moshe Rabbeinu had the status. That Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a Kohen. So if he had
he was originally intended to be a Kohen.
Yes.
And then he gave it up and forfeited it, if you will.
Correct. Right.
But he retained
his status of Kohen in that he was entitled. Perhaps he was entitled to Matnas Kahuna. Perhaps he was entitled to do the Avoda. He was entitled to go places where only Kohenim are permitted to go. So he had some. You have to give an answer to that. So one of the answers could just be, well, Moshe Rabbeinu himself had the status of Kohen, but he didn't have the bracha. I mean, Aaron has a bracha that not just he's going to be a Kohen, but all his descendants are going to be Kohanim as well, right? Moshe didn't have that bracha, but Moshe himself might have qualified as a Kohen. So, okay, so that's not a problem. So is there another reason why maybe Moshe could not have given Berachas Kohanim? And maybe the suggestion might be because Moshe was a Baal Mum. Perhaps we would qualify Moshe as being a Baal Mum. Where would Moshe be qualified as a Baal Mum? So, yeah, two things. One is the speech issue. That story of how Moshe got the speech issue is not actually in the Torah itself. Moshe does say, "Ani aras v'asai, I am slow of speech, or I have a problem. I have a problem speaking." So does that perhaps qualify as a Baal Mum? Another example might be that Moshe, the Gemara tells us, was exceedingly tall. And exceedingly tall also perhaps could qualify him as being a Baal Mum. So in the Masifta Gemara to see if it made any comments about that, and actually quotes from a statement from the Griz, that the Griz, the Brisker of, writes based on this Gemara that you actually see a proof that Moshe, that Aral Sfasayim is not a Mum. From the fact that Moshe is qualified as Kohen and that Moshe goes ahead and does the Avoda, right, that actually could qualify as a proof that he would not, that is not an issue of a Baal Mum. So Moshe is not considered a Baal Mum. However, is that even if he was, would that even be a problem for Birchas Kohen in any ways? And the answer is probably not. Actually, there's two sources in Hilchos Birchas Kohanim that seem to address it. Number one is actually back in this Sif Aleph that it says Zar over Basi, Zar violates the mitzvah Asay, comments the Bir Halacha, the Umishahu Tumtum O Androgynous Lo Yaladuchan, that if a person is a Tumtum or an Androgynous, means they are either have unclear sexual characteristics or both sexual characteristics, they're not allowed to go up to the Duchan. But the implication being that if they are Baal Mum, they are permitted to go up to the Duchan. That the Baal Mum does not disqualify a person from, while they might disqualify them from doing the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, it does not disqualify them from doing Birchas Kohanim, and that seems to be pretty clear a little bit later on. It's Simen Kuf Chaf Ches Sif Lamed, it says Mishi Yesh Lo Mum Befanav O Biyadav, that if a person has a problem, a mum on their face or on their hands, Gunjahim Bo Haknios O Akumos O Akushos, that they have some type of leprosy or some type of skin ailment, so that might be a problem. Why? Because people are going to look at them. Now the Ramah comments that nowadays, I mean, Mishnah Berurah comments nowadays, where we cover the Kohen up, the Kohen covers his face and covers his hands. Even that's not a problem anymore. So the problem of a mum is not the technical halacha of the Baal Mum, but rather it's a halacha of that's going to distract people while he's doing the Birkas Kohenim. So being a Baal Mum is not a problem. In fact, whenever you talk about a Baal Mum by a Kohen, you have the problem that a lefty is technically considered a Baal Mum. So if a lefty is considered a Baal Mum, does that mean a lefty can't do Birkas Kohenim? Nu chumra, right? Only righties can do Birkas Kohenim. So the answer is no. That only a Baal Mum that would be distracting to people would be a problem, not the Baal Mum that would not be distracting to people.
Baal Mum is what, please?
Baal Mum, well, there's several of them that are talked about. So some type of ailment, or if a person is... some type of defect. So if a person either has a skin ailment, or they might have like one limb that is longer than another limb, or something like that. So those things disqualify him from doing the avodah on Beis Hamikdash, but it would not disqualify him from being a Baal Mum. Okay, so whether Moshe was or was not a Baal Mum, even that would not be considered a disqualification from him doing the avodah. One that might be considered disqualification, this, by the way, I made these all up myself. I just sat down for a moment and thought, well, what's the story with Moshe? So let's think about Moshe's life. So one of the is a Kohen required to be married? So no, even non-married Kohanim are permitted. There's a whole issue with non-bar mitzvah Kohanim. Is it appropriate for them to do Birkas Kohanim or not? For practice, right? Is that an appropriate thing? Is it not an appropriate thing? Okay, I think the minhag generally is that they do Birkas Kohanim. But one of the requirements that comes up with regards to Birkas Kohanim is, what about if they are considered an over avera b'farhesia, that they violate certain averos in public? So is that an issue? So we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu here. What could possibly be the issue? Well, it does tell us lo hayu mehadvar in kufkof ches sif lamites hechasko kohanim lo hayu bo mehadvar hamonim nesis kavayim afal pish inu medaktik b'mitzvos, that we shouldn't keep anybody from doing birchas kohanim even if they are not so strict about mitzvos, and people should do it. Because other avaros shouldn't keep a person from doing Birkas Kohanim. So this question has been raised over the years about certain avaros that perhaps are go very much against the grain of this. I mean, he's very publicly violating something that people are very sensitive about. So that is a shaila. There's a shir on Yud Torah that Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz gave on the topic of a kohen who was a public homosexual. And people were not happy with the fact that he was doing Birkas Kohanim. So A, is it appropriate for them to or to not be happy? And B, does it matter whether they are or whether they are not happy? And the truth is, it probably does matter, that if the person is doing something that gets people really angry and really uptight, so there is room to say that it's inappropriate for him to do Birkas Kohanim. But Moshe, Moshe is Moshe, right? What would be the possible issue with Moshe? Can anybody think of a possible issue with Moshe doing
married,
a Birkas?
Married guest.
Ah! Moshe married a Gioris. Now, it could be, you could make the case that all Kohanim married Gioruses, right, in that period. But Moshe married somebody who clearly was not an Ivriya, was not from the Hebrew tribe. He married Yisro's daughter.
Is so she, the Quran, to marry a Gioris?
Yes. Yes. So a Kohen has...
Kohen.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So a Kohen specifically has...
Excuse me. So who made her a Gioris?
Who converted her?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a good question, but we're having fun here. Okay? The assumption is that actually in my kids... So in my kids... Okay, but so what? If a Kohen could be on a Beis Din and convert a woman, it doesn't mean that he's then allowed to go ahead and marry her. Right? So, in my children's... In my first Parsha reader that Yosef made me read this past Friday night, I think it actually had that line, that Moshe married one of Yisro's daughters after he converted her. Like, where was that in the Chumash? I missed that. But anyways... but we could certainly assume that Tzipora was a wonderful Gioris, and we could assume that Moshe married her, and Moshe certainly did marry her, but the problem is that Moshe, if we're going to assume to be Moshe a Kohen, is that a problem? And in fact, it says, Kohen shenasa grusha lo yises kapav. A Kohen who marries a grusha is not permitted to raise his hands. He can't do a Birkas Kohenim. And as the Mishnah Berurah here, Right? Behu adin chalala v'zona o chalutza, and a gioris qualifies under the rubric of zona. And also, if he's intermarried, also that would also be a problem. So if a kohen has a marriage issue that is intermarriage might not be an issue. These specific things are all specific to a kohen. So if a kohen is violating a prohibition that is specific to him, right? So then that perhaps would disqualify him from doing Birkas Kohanim. So that is interesting. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch continues on and says, and let's say she dies, so he's no longer married to the Gioris. So Shulchan Aruch says it's not good enough. He's got to do tshuva from it also. He's got to make sure and be very clear that he is not going to violate this prohibition anymore. In fact, I came across this morning a story of the Belzer Rebbe, that a person who was, there was a Kohen in his community, well, I don't know which Belzer Rebbe, I just saw the name of the Belzer Rebbe, that who married a Grusha, married a divorcee, and he wanted to do, he was going to do Birkas Kohanim like he's always did, and all the other Kohanim came to the Rebbe and said, we're not doing Birkas Kohanim with that guy, right? That guy is married a Grusha, and therefore he shouldn't do Birkas Kohanim, we're not going to do Birkas Kohanim with him. So Belzer Rebbe said, fine, you're not going to do Birkas Kohanim with him. No Birkas Kohanim in Shul. We're not going to do it yet, but you're nodding.
I was saying about somebody else before, but a lot of synagogues I belong to that say they don't do Birkas Kohanim anymore because there's this taint on the Kohanim that he's not Shomer Shabbos, and he does this, and we're not
going
to do it at all.
Wow, okay. I don't know about that, but this is a specific Kohen related thing. So he said, no one's going to do Birchas Kohen. So now people are like, great. Yontif goes by, another Yontif goes, this is still in Europe. Yontif goes by, another Yontif goes by, and this guy's starting to feel a little bad. Right? Not only is he not doing Birchas Kohen anymore, but he's causing the whole community not do Birchas Kohen. And he went and he said, how can I do tshuva? He said, well, you ready to do tshuva? He says, yeah, I'm ready to do tshuva. So he divorced her, and then the Belzer Rebbe got, he didn't tell anybody. The Belzer Rebbe got up in the next yontif and said, we have a halacha, we have a gemara that tells us, b'makom shebali tshuva omdim ein tzadikim omdim, a place where bali tshuva get a very special place. I want to have Birkas Kohanim done only by the Baal Tshuva, and he had that guy come up and do Birkas Kohanim on behalf of everybody else, and none of the other Kohanim would come up. That's, I'd like to see myself try to get away with that in Shul. Some people get certain statuses to do these types of things. But that is perhaps a lot. Now, obviously, you could get around this, saying everybody was yours. Is the Moshe really violated? Fine. But anyways, that was just to talk. It's interesting to think about that Moshe married a Gioris and what the story is with that. And maybe that would be a reason why he couldn't do Birkas Kohanim. And the fourth reason that I came up with.
Well, Aaron married a Gioris also.
Who? He married. We know who he married. He married, I think, the daughter of Nachshon Ben Aminadav or something. I think he married a relative of Nachshon Ben Aminadav. I forget who.
One of his sons married also a Midianite, I believe.
I don't know. But anyways, that's another issue on the table. Okay, I don't know. Anyways, so the fourth issue that I came up with regards to Moshe doing Birkas Kohanim would be that Moshe actually killed someone in his life. There is a halacha in Birkas Kohanim that a Kohen who killed...
Not a Jew, though.
Okay, hold on. So a Kohen who killed, it sounds like anybody, a Kohen who has blood on his hands, that's the way the Gemara describes it. A Kohen who has blood on his hands shouldn't raise his hands to her to give the bracha. So there are all these exemptions. Well, wait a second, what about this, what about that? Well, okay, if you think about the Gemara outright, the Gemara just says it shouldn't have anything to do with what the circumstances were, or who it was, etc. If you have blood on your hands, perhaps it could be problematic. Look, David HaMelech also didn't kill any Jews. Right? David HaMelech also only killed, well, maybe he did. I don't remember, I gotta think about the story again. But assuming David HaMelech only killed non-Jews, still, he was not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. Okay.
You know what to do after I'm...
That's fine.
Take care of this.
That's fine. But David HaMelech was not permitted to build the Beis HaMikdash because he had blood on his hands. So should the same halacha apply here? So who did Moshe kill? Moshe killed the Mitzri. Right? So should... And besides the fact that he brought down the entire Yamsuf on the rest of the mitzvah, but we'll ignore that one. But he did kill at least one with his own hands. So should that then disqualify him from doing Birkas Kohanim based on that Gemara in Maseches Brachos? So what exactly does it say in Shulchan Aruch? So in Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Kof Ches Sif Lamed Hey, Kohen Shaharag Es HaNefesh, Afilu B'Shogeg, Lo Yisa Es Kapav, Afilu Asa Tshuva. That a Kohen who killed a Nefesh, even by accident, he shouldn't do Berchas Kohanim, even if he does Tshuva. Right? So what does it sound like, even if he did Tshuva? It sounds like purpose or by accident. Right, even if he did tshuva, he shouldn't be allowed to do it. So the Rama comments, the Yisharim did not say tshuva. If he did tshuva, that he could. And there are those that are megil, v'hachi nahug, and that is the minhag. Now the Mishnah Brura says v'hachi nahug. However, v'yish eizem achronim shemachmir. There are those achronim that are machmir on this. That if he did it b'mezid, he says he's a bayer alacha. But he says if he did it b'mezid, there's no coming back from that. That if he b'mezid killed somebody, even if he attempted to do tshuva, he says the minhag should be. He seems to imply perhaps that the minhag should be that he shouldn't go ahead and do it. So
that applies for a non-Jew.
So one issue. So it says Shaharagas and Nefesh. The implication seems to be that it would apply even to non-Jew. Right? That's what it sounds like. Now the. That's a shaila that's out there. Does it apply? The Prisha seems to say that no, this only applies to Jews. Does it say that it doesn't? Here in the Sefer Pischi Tshuvos, he seems to say that if he killed a non-Jew on purpose, that he actually murdered a non-Jew, then he should not do Berachas Kohanim. Right, but is that what Moshe did? Did Moshe kill? Did Moshe murder an Egyptian? So l'chora he didn't murder an Egyptian. He killed them in self-defense, right? Or well, not necessarily self-defense, in defense of others, right? We would call the Egyptian a
pursuer,
right? A rodef, right? We would call him a rodef, and Moshe was killing a rodef. Now, would that then mean that he should then be exempt? So there are a whole bunch of tshuvos that this came up during European wars. So during European wars, where there were Jews that actually killed other Jews, right? There were Jews that were in battle and they came across. There are these stories of a Jew about to kill another Jew, and the person's realizes he's about to be bayoneted, and he says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and the person like responds by saying Baruch Shem Kavod. There are a lot of stories that are out there. I actually came across. Maybe it was for sharing this topic. I once tried looking and finding in the background of this. So there is a blog called On the Main Line. Have you seen this? There's a blog out there. It hasn't been active. I haven't noticed, at least. It hasn't been too active recently. But there's this blog On the Main Line. I have no idea if it has to do with anybody on the Main Line in Philadelphia or not. I don't know who this person is. But there is this blog out there where he kind of goes through these stories that are out there. He finds these like old artifacts of like newspaper clippings from the middle of the 1800s and talks about the Jewish impact of them. So he has this story. He actually traces five stories along these lines of a Jew about to kill another Jew, and there was and someone said Shema, and there was a response, or there wasn't a response, or he killed him anyways, or he didn't kill him, and there's a lot of different versions of this. He points out they could very well all be true, right? It doesn't mean that this only happened once, right? This happened many, many times in Europe, especially when we know of all the stories of Jews being drafted into the army, or we know of Jews getting out of being drafted in the army. That also means that there are a lot of Jews that were drafted in the army, and if that's the case, if Jews are drafted in the army, presumably also fought in the army, and these stories took place. So Rav Moshe actually has a tshuva at the very end, in Yoredeya Chelik Beis Simon Kuf Nun Ches, you gotta only find his two indexes. It's not in the title of the Tshuva, but just at the very end, he adds, by the way, by the Kohen Shenilka that was taken into the army, Beis Tzava Vaharag, and he killed people in war, Pashat Shekasher Lisa Kapav. It's certainly, it's Pashat, it's obvious that he's permitted to raise his hands, as it says, Ba'an Suhu La Rok Shenose Kapav, as we learn in the Pri Chadash and the Mishnah Berurah, that it seems to be that he was forced to do it. Now, the Mishnah Berurah actually makes a comment on this. What if you were forced? A person put a gun to a Kohen's head and said, "You kill him, otherwise I'm going to kill you. You kill a Jew, otherwise I'm going to kill you." Right? What's the Kohen supposed to do?
Kill.
He's supposed to be killed, right? That's one of the Harik Valyavars. So the Mishnah Berurah actually makes a comment and says, yeah, what if it happens if he goes ahead and kills? Let's say he doesn't. Right, same thing with the other violations. Person puts a gun to his head, worship Avodah Zarah, otherwise I'm going to kill you. And he goes ahead and worships Avodah Zarah. So what's the halacha of such a person? He did what he's not supposed to do, but we don't assume that he has violated Avodah Zarah. Right? It sounds like he has violated, he has lost his opportunity to do the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Right? But he has not violated that particular prohibition. So the Mishnah Berurah says, under those circumstances, it would be permissible. So Mishnah Ravosha says, the same thing here, right? Yes, it's true in war. It's not like a guy has his gun to your head the entire time and says, kill him other or else. But in effect, that's what's going on, right? In effect, you're in that situation. That's what your, you know, the rules of war are a little different than regular rules. And therefore, it should be permissible. So Moshe seems to say that it's okay. The Piskei Tshuva quotes further positions with regards to what about if the opponents are only non-Jews, right? Or in the Israeli army today, what if the opponents are only non-Jews? Would that be an issue for a Kohen? Would a Kohen who killed somebody in war, defeating Israel's enemies, would he be prohibited? So clearly, according to Rav Moshe, it would be okay. He says, Pashut it would be okay, and here also, Pashut would be okay. There is one shita that I know of that says that no, that all of these would be problematic, and that's the Rav. Apparently Rav Soloveitchik held that the Gezeiras HaKasav and the Gemara is the Gezeiras HaKasav. The Torah, the Gemara, it says anybody with blood on their hands can't do Birchas Kohanim, and that's the rule. It doesn't matter whether it was permitted, or whether it was allowed, or whether it was whether we wanted him to do it, and we should have done it, etc. That's just a rule. You are hereby excluded from the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim going forward, and that's going to the rule. So much so that I heard, this also heard on a shir from Merari Leibowitz, although I find it very surprising, apparently there are, when there's snipers in the Israeli army, right, or I assume in most armies, besides being a sniper, they're a team. There's the sniper, the guy who actually pulls the trigger, and there's also a spotter, right? I didn't know this, right? So there's a spotter. Your son is a spotter? Or he's in the army.
He was in IDF. He was in Gaza.
Uh huh. As what? As one? Or he was a
sniper.
He was a sniper. Okay. So besides the sniper, there's also
a spotter.
Right. So the Shiloh was asked, what about if the spotter is a Kohen? So Rabbi Leibowitz said that he heard Rav Schechter was asked this Shiloh. The Shiloh got to him. Is the spotter? I think it came out of Gaza. I think it was from the war. Was your son's partner a Kohen?
He's a lady.
So it wasn't him. Okay. So this, apparently this Shiloh came out.
A boy who was in IDF, who's a security guard here.
Okay. So, but the spotter who's not even pulling the trigger, but he's involved in the death, would he then be prohibited from doing Birkas Kohanim? And Rosh Hefter apparently said it was a tzarachin. He said he wasn't even sure. I thought, really? How could that possibly be? You didn't even pull the trigger. I said, no, even that would be considered a possibility for this thing. So there's the Shaila. That's the fourth possibility with regards to Moshe. Maybe Moshe shouldn't have done Birkas Kohanim because he killed somebody with his hands. Now, and there's many reasons why it would be okay. Number one, it was a non-Jew, so maybe there's permissibility there. Number two, that person was a Rodef, so he was permitted to do it.
Did Moshe actually kill the non-Jew?
It sounds like, yeah.
And buried him.
Right? Sounds like he killed the non-Jew and buried him there, yeah.
He said something and sand went on.
Yeah, right. So Moshe buried him. Moshe killed him. So maybe that should mean that he should be not permitted to do Birchas Kohanim. So Rav Soloveitchik might say, yeah, right? But most other poskim, it seems to be, don't agree with that assessment and would assume that Moshe would be permitted to do Birchas Kohanim. So again, four possible reasons why Moshe would not have done Birchas Kohanim. Number one, he wasn't a Kohen, but as you pointed out, that non-Kohenim do often do Birchas Kohanim outside the context of Tefillah. Number two, perhaps Moshe was a Baal Mum, but it probably was rejected. Moshe was a Moshe, right? That Gemara is used the opposite way to prove that Moshe, that those things are not considered a Baal Mum for the mere fact that Moshe, the Gemara calls Moshe a Kohen, Maseches Vachem. Number three, perhaps it is because Moshe married a convert. So, okay, you know, maybe if we consider Tzipora a convert, than Moshe Cohen, then you have a problem there, but there's obviously many halachic questions with regards to that analogy. And then before, maybe Moshe shouldn't have done Birkas Kohen because he killed somebody. But as you pointed out, that also would be subject to dispute. So anyways, to superimpose this on the pasuk itself, I'm not sure we're going to go there, but I think it's interesting just to understand some of the halachas of Birkas Kohen. And I think using this as a good paradigm is, you know, at least interesting. All right. Have a good day.
Give me a
His kid.